I'm Mark Bashore. For months, a panel representing the 8 U.S. states and 2 Canadian provinces that border the Great Lakes have been deliberating over a request by the city of Waukesha, Wisconsin, to divert water from Lake Michigan. Waukesha's an inland suburb west of Milwaukee. The city's own well water supply is contaminated by radium, so Waukesha is under an EPA mandate to find another source. Now, since we talked about Waukesha last month, the Wisconsin city moved closer to getting its wish. The panel voted to approve the city's request, but with 2 key conditions. Here with the latest on the Waukesha issue and other environmental stories that made the news in May is current state's Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson. Gary, welcome back.
Hey, Mark. Belated happy Memorial Day, and good to be back with you as always.
Same to you. Hope you had a great holiday weekend. The bottom line for the community of Waukesha appears to be that it got what it needs, but the panel said no to these towns in its service area. Remind our listeners why water for this larger service area was also important to Waukesha.
Sure, Mark. When this process started, it started formally 5 years ago and informally well before that, but the city of Waukesha has towns that border it that don't currently get water via the city of Waukesha and don't have a need for it. They don't have the radium problem that the city of Waukesha does. But the state of Waukesha, state of Wisconsin, in all of its wisdom, decided to include the these bordering towns in Waukesha's request, and they codified that in a law that Waukesha would have to be able to provide water to this service area, and that was controversial and tricky, and it turned out to be a non-starter for the city of Waukesha. The states were very clear, saying there's no provision in the compact for a service area. If these towns have a need for water, they should apply for it just like Waukesha did. So during the process over the last couple of weeks, that was quickly dismissed.
Well, how are city leaders responding to the decision? Are they more pleased with this decision, or are they displeased on behalf of these surrounding communities?
Well, it depends, Mark. I think, you know, privately they are displeased. They wanted those bordering towns to be part of that service area, to be part of what they would provide at some point in time. Publicly, they've got their good behavior hats on. They say, okay, we understand that's a compromise that needs to be made, and we accept it. The future of their water supply here hangs on the balance, so they aren't going to do anything controversial. And I spoke with Dan Dukniak, the director of Waukesha's Water Department, and he was resigned that the service areas had to go.
And to be clear, this is still not formally over with. This recommendation goes to all of the Great Lakes state governors. They have the final say, correct?
They do. They'll meet on June 21st, and I'm not sure if the governors themselves will meet. They certainly could if it was their desire. More likely, official designees will meet in Chicago on June 21st to vote. This will be the final word. It takes a unanimous vote to approve Waukesha's request. One vote against, and the request is denied. And they've got 3 options. They can approve the Waukesha's request as it was submitted, and that won't happen. That's already out the door. Or they could approve it with conditions, which appears to be likely, or they could just flat-out deny it. And we'll have to see what happens on June 21st, but that will be the final word.
Do you have any insights on how you feel how this vote will turn out?
Logically, the table has been set for the governors to approve it. This panel that you referred to, the regional body, are designees of the governors. Their process is codified into the law. This was a formal review process with a recommendation to the governors that Waukesha's request be approved with conditions. So at this point, if the governors said no, they would be going against the recommendation of their designees, who are experts in the area. So The governors might have some explaining to do if they say no.
And what adds to the urgency of this situation, as I understand it, is its precedent-setting nature. If the governors approve the request, could other cities and towns along the divide of the Great Lakes Basin get in line for Great Lakes water? How, and is that scenario weighing on all of the governor's minds?
Yeah, I think the precedent-setting issue that we keep talking about, and I've been guilty of this, is it's certainly there, but I think it's a little bit overblown. There are about eight other cities that straddle the divide, or they're in a county that straddles the divide, and they could be candidates for water to follow Waukesha's path, but I'm not sure that they will. As I said, this was a formal five-year process for Waukesha to get to this point. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of rigor in the process. It was expensive to apply. And, you know, I think these cities will have to think, do we really want to go through all this, or should we be looking at alternatives? So my take on it is the Great Lakes Compact is pretty much working here.
We are talking with Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson, who joins us around this time each month to review the biggest issues making news in the Great Lakes region. Let's shift to another topic. Invasive species are a perennial concern on the Great Lakes, and not just Asian carp. Many unwanted species come in through ballast water that's dumped into the Great Lakes by ocean-going vessels. Zebra and quagga mussels are the best example. I guess there are an estimated 10 million zebra and quagga mussels in the Great Lakes. Right now, ballast water is regulated jointly by the Coast Guard and the U.S. EPA, but there's pending legislation in Congress that would take that authority away from EPA and give it exclusively to the Coast Guard. What is happening here, Gary? Help us understand.
Sure, Mark. This has been a push and pull going on with regulating ballast water for years. Right now, the responsibility rests jointly with the U.S. EPA and the Coast Guard. And members in Congress, primarily in the House of Representatives, but in the Senate too, would like to take that authority away from the EPA and give it exclusively to the Coast Guard. Now, there are a couple of issues there. First of all, EPA is the primary enforcer of regulations, and that's done via the Clean Water Act, the landmark legislation that allows entities like the EPA and others to bring legal action against polluters. In this case, it would be the shipping industry. But giving it to the authority solely to the Coast Guard is, many think is problematic. Coast Guard has a broader mission than regulating the ballast water. They're in charge of shipping. They're the interdiction, life-saving. They've got a bigger role, and the fear is that this will be a low priority for the Coast Guard. So that's why many folks, including the environmental folks especially, are concerned about this.
How could lakeside communities in Michigan protect their interests if they no longer have the mechanism to sue a commercial shipping line for environmental transgressions under the Clean Water Act? That seems to be a concern here, too.
It is a concern. It's a legitimate concern. It really hinders their ability to do anything. They would be reliant on state laws if there were state laws. It makes their path toward a remedy much more difficult. It just leaves them without a whole lot of good options. That's why there's such a hubbub and such interest over trying to get this change in the law right. People are very concerned about it.
We have been talking with Great Lakes commentator Gary Wilson about some of the biggest issues making news in the Great Lakes region for May, among them a panel vote in favor of granting a water diversion request by the city of Waukesha, Wisconsin, but with conditions. We will see how that plays out on later next month. Gary, thanks as always.
Nice to be with you, Mike. Talk to you next month.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.